After traveling about 4,000 miles to try to seek out some direction, the Lord seemingly was leading us. We were having devotions one morning in Olympia, Washington. Couldn't find a holiness church anywhere to be found. Most of the West is like that. They're just not out there. And if they are, they're not known. We looked nearly every state we went into, not even in the West, but even some of the Midwest, every major city. And it was like the brother spoke last night about some of the places in Russia. Why aren't there more churches, holiness churches out there? Because it's easy here in the Midwest, in the Bible Belt. I mean, we've got well over 200, I guess, in this area. Not all of them are holiness, of course, but they call themselves Pentecostal, or at one time they were holiness. But there's a you can wear your arm out right in the places that you can think about that either was or does claim to be Pentecostal. But out there, there weren't any that we found. And we looked in the phone books, we looked in brochures, we looked through the Chamber of Commerce's. But we were in Olympia, Washington, and we had driven for a long, long time, and it was late at night, and it was, I guess, around 11 o'clock, and we stopped in a motel, and it seemed like a nice, peaceable town, and so we thought, well, this might be a safe place to stay tonight. And we got a motel there, and it was Saturday night. Sunday morning was coming. We was looking in the phone book. Still could not find anything that faintly resembled Pentecostal church out there. The UPCs are out there real strong. The Mormons are out there real strong. United Pentecostal, that's the oneness. That's those folks that don't believe in the Trinity. And so they're really not worthy of fellowship. But we couldn't find anything. And we had saw quite a few oneness people out there. But we stayed all night there at that motel. And we got up the next morning, and looking for another place to find fellowship, there just wasn't. So we prayed and had devotions there. And as we was pulling out of the parking lot, as we were praying, before we prayed, we had a devotion. And the Lord led me to this scripture, Nehemiah chapter 9, and verse 11. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the depths as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by the cloudy pillar, and in the night by the pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Verse 20 says, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. I was getting so frustrated, and it had been a long trip, and we'd been away several weeks at that point, I guess 3 weeks, and I was getting kind of frustrated, kind of tired, kind of weary, and we began to pray and ask the Lord to show us something, to please make real His direction and what we should do and where we should go. And my eyes fell upon this scripture, and I began to read. And so we prayed and we had our devotion, and we was planning on going down the road just a little bit further. And we began to pray, and as we finished up with our prayer, I looked up, and there was a lady standing beside the van that had long black hair. And she even had a poof. If you ladies are concerned about poof, she even had a poof. And I thought, well, I wonder who this is. They rode down the window, and we said, she introduced herself and said that she was a pastor's wife, and they're starting a church right there in that motel that we stayed in that night. Isn't that coincidental? Isn't that ironic that such a thing should happen? And so I thought, well, that's nice. Another oneness church getting their foothold in the Pacific Northwest. And I began to ask her a few questions, and I asked her what she believed. And it was kind of a general, vague answer. She said, well, we believe in the whole Bible. And we notice that you all are church-going people, that you're Christians. And we just want to know if you'd want to be in service with us. We start at 12 o'clock. And I said, well, I appreciate that. And I was still trying to figure it all out. Something, though, about her kind of stuck with me. I mean, I've talked to some other folks, and I assumed that she was United Pentecost, but something about her was different. And there seemed to be a surge of joy on her face, and something portrayed that she wasn't like some of the other folks that we had met out there. And so she walked on in, she excused herself, and she said, "Well, if you all are I've got plans and you've got to be somewhere, I understand," and walked on into the motel. And I told my wife, I said, let's go in and talk to her and find out a little more about them. So I walked in there, and they were just getting set up to have service, and a little pioneer church in Olympia, Washington, just a handful of people. And I said, met her husband, the pastor, a young couple from California, and got saved in the military and went to their commanding officers, opened up a Bible school somewhere in Washington, sent them to Bible school, and now they're pioneering a little church. And I began to ask them, "What do you believe? Let me just be real frank with you. Are you all, I know there's a lot of folks out here, are you all oneness or are you Trinity?" And she says, "Oh, we're Trinity. We're Trinity. We're holiness folks." And I said, "We'll be right in." And we went in and we had service with them. And what I want to say tonight is that a walk in the Spirit is not optional. It's not an option to walk in the Spirit. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit. And it's not like, I can have this or this. I can be a Christian and do this, or I cannot be a Christian and do this, or I can be a Christian and not do this. A walk in the Spirit is not optional. The Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And what is walking in the Spirit but to mind Him on a daily basis? And I don't think it was any accident that we ended up at that motel at that particular time, after driving long and hard around the Olympic Peninsula and finding nothing there, and just coincidentally landing in that same exact motel. And we said to ourselves that night, this seems like it's a nice town. And we noticed this too. We were trying to be very mindful about how we felt inside. I know we can't go by feelings, but sometimes when you enter into a town that you're not familiar with and you're praying and seeking God, some places you don't want to spend more than enough time to pump gas and get out of there. And I'll be honest with you, there's some places out there that have got spirits that are attached to that community and to that town. And especially if you're traveling at night and if you've got an out-of-state license plate on, the best thing you can do is either hope you can get to another gas station or pump as quick as you can and get on down the road. But that place seemed to have a peace about it. And so we stayed there. And it's important, folks, that we walk in the Spirit, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, "But this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do..." "These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." The important thing about walking in the Spirit is it keeps you from walking in the flesh. I mean, if you want to go through this life without having the heartaches, the disappointments, the heartbreaking experiences that many people have today, we need to walk in a different sort. We need to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." It's not an option. It is not an option to walk in the Spirit. And we become comfortable and complacent because we can come to the highway of holiness and everybody knows us as a good member of good standing for X number of years. And we feel comfortable because we feel accepted one of another. But we do not know when each other leaves these doors and goes our separate ways what we're up to and the things that will befall us. So it's important to walk in the Spirit. It is not only important, it's non-optional. You must do it. Nobody goes out here and buys an automobile and finds out that the automobile doesn't have wheels and tires and or even an engine. Those things are non-optional. They come with it. Now, some of the things that are optional may be leather seats or an AM or a CD player in your car or whatever. But the things that are non-optional are the things that come standard with the package. I mean, nobody's ever bought a new car and not had a paint job on it. Oh, I'll just do it myself. No, they don't sell them like that. Those are non-options. And to be a Christian and to live in this world that we're living in, walking in the Spirit must be non-optional. I mean, we must walk in the Spirit daily. What is walking in the Spirit? It's being led by Him. In every decision that we make, in everything that we do, being led by the Spirit of God. You may not know that you're led, but if you're trusting in Him, and you don't have to walk around humming all day and trying to find this aura or whatever, but you can be led in the Spirit of God on a daily basis just because you've committed that day to Him and you go about doing what you know is right. That's basically what it's all about, doing what you know to do. And when you take that step of what you know, He'll give you another step and another and another. Amen. I took prayer request one night and I said, you know, sometimes we'll take prayer request and the thing that'll happen to many times is we'll turn in a prayer request about, oh, I've got to have that job and I've got to have it. I know that's the job for me. And we'll have the church praying, not realizing that that may not be the job at all. God may have something different. He may have something better. And so I instructed that if it ever falls our lot to be out of a job, don't just pray that God will give you a particular job, but pray that you may find God's will in the circumstance that you're at. Well, I had the wonderful opportunity this week. First experience I've ever had of this nature, but I got fired this week. Isn't that no, don't be sad. It is a wonderful experience if you've done right and if you know that everything that you've done was in order. I came home and my wife kind of rejoiced. And I looked at her kind of strange, and it reminded me of a story I heard that two fellas had heard that there were going to be a bounty on wolves, and they were trapping wolves, and they was formed a partnership there, Jed and Bill, and they was going to go out into the wilderness and begin to trap wolves, and they were out for a long extended periods of time, and they would set up their campsites. Well, one night, one of the fellas woke up to the sound of their camp being surrounded by a pack of wolves, and they were all growling, and their teeth were showing, and their eyes were aflame. And Bill said, "Wake up, Jed, we're rich." You see, many times the will of God is just a matter of, or accepting the will of God is just a matter of our perspective upon that. And I'm serious. I'm serious. God sometimes uses unusual circumstances to teach us to have more trust in Him and more faith in Him, and to show us that we were in the right course all along. You see, let me explain. Let me go back just a few more months and a few weeks before. I was kind of concerned about this fellow that I was working for, and I felt in my spirit I wouldn't be there for a long time. It was a convenient place to harbor in winter, so to speak. And so I learned a few things and added to my resources a little bit of some things that I learned. But I began to be concerned about some things. And I began to pray and I began to fast. And I began to ask God, "Lord, I'm not comfortable with some situations here. And I just need to know what Your will is." And the best thing you can do when you're uncomfortable is to find your comfort in God. So I began to pray and I began to fast about the situation. And we were here one night taking some pictures of the group that played for Sister Peggy on her tape. And Sister Carla was taking some pictures, and it's going to be on like on the inside of the tape cover. It's a pretty standard thing, I guess. And so there was, as we were finishing up, there was an old fella that came to the back door and rattled on the door a little bit, and we went back there and let him in. He said, "Excuse me, is anybody going to Middletown?" I said, "Well, I am. I'll be done just in a few minutes, and I'll take you there." And everybody was just looking at me like, "You're going to take this guy somewhere? You want us to follow you? You know, you're going to be all right?" So I said, "Yeah, I'll be fine." So got in the van. I introduced myself to him. And my wife was driving another van, and so I didn't jeopardize their safety. But I was driving down the road, and he didn't say much at all. I told him my name was Jim, so he called me James. And I called him whatever his name was, John or whatever. And didn't hardly say anything at all. But just as we were approaching the place where I was working for this fella turned to me and said, "James, the man that you're working for is not doing you right. He's holding back. Turned around, and I continued to drive with my mouth agape, wondering what in the world is going on here. But I was seeking the Lord. I was uncomfortable with some situations there. And the Lord was letting me know just to continue to walk in the Spirit. Just continue to walk in the Spirit. And so from that time on, I began to be a little more cautious than maybe what I ordinarily would not have been. And that's how the Lord does. I mean, He may not send... My wife said, honey, do you think that may have been an angel? I said, do angels smell bad? Because I had to drive with the window down all the way there. And she says, well, you know, the Lord did use a donkey one time, and they don't normally smell too good. But I think the Lord can use whomever and whatever He decides to do to allow us to walk in the Spirit, Brother Richard. I mean, that may be an unusual, a rare situation, but the Lord was knowing what I had need of, and He was willing to help me as long as I was willing to walk in the Spirit. You see, the condition that we have here, it's not optional, but it does have a condition. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because the flesh warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit warreth against the flesh, and the two cannot come together. They never have, and they never will. I was troubled too, Brother Collins, at some of the things I saw a couple of nights ago. And I mean, I guess it bothered me worse than the other. And I was walking out of the parking lot, and I had Rebecca in my arms, and I was taking her to the van. And I said, Rebecca, will you promise me something? And she said, what? I said, will you always be a holiness girl? She said, I promise. And I said, I'll always be a holiness man. I promise. You see, this is not an option. We must. And the things that befall many people and lead many people astray is not... It's not just a matter of putting the scissors to the hair. It's not just a matter of being somewhere where you ought not to be. It's not just a matter of raising the hemline. Or for the guys, it's not just a matter of partaking of a certain thing or being in a certain location when you know you shouldn't be. It's not those things necessarily, but it's the condition of your heart that brought you to those things. I told a fellow I was working with, he began to ask me about legalizing marijuana. I said, Chris, what are you asking me about, you know, whether you should legalize marijuana? It's stupid. I mean, one thing will lead to another. He said, well, what does the Bible say about it? And I began to tell him, I said, well, you know, marijuana is not in the Bible, but there's a whole lot of things about those kind of things. And it's not, I said, it's not marijuana that will send you to hell. It's not drinking. It's not going to the beer joints. It's not doing all of those things that you're doing that's going to send you to hell. The thing that will take you to hell is not knowing the Lord Jesus. And when you don't know Him, you begin to take of the other things. You see, this walk in the Spirit will prevent a whole lot of problems. It'll prevent marriage breakup. It'll prevent family breakups. It'll prevent being in the wrong place at the wrong time and not knowing how you're going to get out of this situation. Walking in the Spirit may cause you to have to do some things. First of all, it'll cause you to flee from sin and all the elements thereof. And that's the wonderful thing about it. All of the judgments and all of the punishments that goes with living a life of sin is gone when you're walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, you may have to lay down some things that are not sins. Some things that are just weights. Some things that may beset you along the way. I remember one of the first things that the Lord spoke to my heart about, and I was 14 years old. I didn't have a mother or father that was serving the Lord. Our home was in turmoil. I got to where I hated Jerry Lee Lewis. I actually had an hatred for Jerry Lee Lewis. And for Ernest Tubb, and for Hank Williams, and for Merle Haggard, and all of those guys. I began to form a hatred in my heart. It took me a while to get rid of, because when I would come home and after school, and many times I'd go to my room and pray or read my Bible or whatever, but many times I'd come home, and late at night, the jukebox would start, or the console stereo, and those were the fellas that were singing late into the night. And I saw the effects of what sin can do in a life. I didn't want anything to do in it.
I didn't want anything to do with it. And so some of the things that God will ask you to do when you're attempting to walk in the Spirit is to separate yourself. I mean, be separate, be different. Pull out away from the things that may drag you down. One night I was seeking the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wanted to have His Spirit within me. I wanted to walk so close to Him that I would place my foot the same place He placed His. I wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost more than I wanted to eat. And so I began to fast every other day. I would go to take my lunch money and put it in my pocket and go to school. And I would fast the entire day. I would pray and seek the Lord and go find me a place where I could pray. And then the next day I'd eat. And then the next day I'd fast. And I did that for seemed like the longest time. But one time in particular, my family gathered at my cousin's house right down the road. And I was going to church not too far from theirs. And so I would walk to church and walk home. And my family would gather at my cousin's house. And they would be playing pool together. The whole family would congregate there on it was a Sunday night, I guess it was. And they were playing pool on Sunday night. And I began to make that turn to go toward my cousin's house. And the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, no. No, He didn't. No flash of lightning, no goosebumps running up and down my spine, no chills. I didn't fall out into the Spirit, but I felt within my heart, no. And so I turned and I walked back toward the house and I began to find a place to pray. And the trouble that the Lord will spare us by walking in the Spirit. Because the Spirit and the flesh are at enmity one against the other. You may have to separate from some friends. But for every friend that you lose, the Lord will give you many, many more that'll be true friends in the Spirit of God. One of my best friends told me when I was in high school, he said, if you tell me another word about Jesus, he said, I just want you to get out of my face. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And that was the end of our friendship. I mean, we were friends all the way up through school. But when I decided that was the year, I just didn't have the heart to go out for football anymore. It just wasn't. And I didn't hear anybody preach against that. I didn't hear one sermon on that in the Baptist church. They didn't preach against that. Some of them probably promoted it. But I felt within my heart, I just didn't have that hunger and drive for that anymore. Because my hunger and my drive changed. I was wanting the Lord and I was wanting a closer walk with Him. And so the walk that I was going to take was going to be different. It was going to be separate from the walk that I had before. And I lost that friend. All the way through high school I lost him. Never spoke to me. When he'd see me coming down the hallway, he'd walk the other way. He'd turn and walk and cut down another way. But I want to tell you something. The Lord is faithful to those that walk in the Spirit. Amen. It wasn't but a few years later after I had resigned youth pastoring at the Tabernacle that I was walking in a little convenience store and I was walking in and I was thinking about some things and a fella bumped into me. I moved out of the way and he bumped into me again and I thought, well, this guy's mistaken me for somebody else and I'm about to have a confrontation here. And he looked at me. He said, you know who I am? And honestly, I didn't know who he was. I said, no. He said, are you sure? And he smiled. And it was the same fella that told me several years before that he never wanted to see my face again. He said, are you still serving Jesus? I said, yeah, I am. He said, I am too. Praise God. It was the same fella that told me that if I spoke another word about Jesus, he didn't want to see me again. I want to tell you, there's benefits to walking in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't have to worry about your home being broken up. You won't have to worry about many of the problems and many of the sicknesses that comes with walking a life of sin.
Yes, sir.
But it's so subtle. It is so subtle. And the Lord is a wonderful God. But this life of walking in the Spirit is a gentle thing. And when the Lord speaks to us, we need to obey as quickly and as promptly as we can and follow. And don't be afraid. Just do what you know to do is right. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You may have to separate yourself from some fashions and some places and some things that you used to partake in. But for everything that you give up for the Lord, He gives you so much more in return. I was still in this Free Will Baptist Church, and I was seeking the Lord with all my heart. And I remember one day going to the closet, opening up the door, and there was a certain thing that I used to like to wear. And I went to reach for it to put it on, and I felt that same no that I felt when I was about to go play pool with my family. The same no that He spoke then, He spoke then. And I shut the door, picked something else out, and never put it on again. and all the problems that are spared from walking in the Spirit. Some of the same people that I grew up with, and some of the same people that I worshiped with in years to come, their paths would drift. A different path they would choose. But I'm so glad that I've chosen to walk in the Spirit. If you'll do it, you'll never regret it. If you'll continue to do it, you'll never regret. You may have some losses. There may be some friends that'll forsake you, even some of your closest. And it seems like a terribly hard price to pay. But walking in the Spirit has its benefits. Or as one advertisement says, it has its privileges. Being a member has its privileges. Well, walking in the Spirit will definitely have its privilege. And this privilege will be eternal life. You see, because it's non-optional, you cannot be a Christian and not walk in the Spirit. You cannot be a Christian and not walk in the Spirit. He commands us to do so. If you want to flee from sin, if you want to flee the problems and the consequences of sin, the best thing that you've got to do, the most important thing that you've got to do, is to continue to walk in. Well, what is walking in the Spirit? It's doing all that you know to do. What is being, it's a term that seems to be unpopular these days, but what is being holiness? And we associate things that we can see with being holiness, and that is part of it. But what really is being holiness? The Bible says, a walk in the light as He is in the light. Yeah. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. What is this walk of holiness that we're talking about? It's walking in the light. Walking in all of the knowledge and all of the light that you have. Right. Not refusing one bit of it. That's called walking in the Spirit. My heart's heavy for those that have chosen not to. I mean, you can't say, I'll walk in the Spirit in this area, but this area over here is mine, and I'm just going to choose to leave it alone. I mean, this area of friendship, these friends have been my friends for a long time, and why should I forsake them now? Or this thing that I've bought I've spent good money for it, and why should I just cast it aside? Now I might as well get some use out of it. Or this fashion that I've put so much time into looking right and being acceptable by my friends because I wear this certain article. Why should I forsake it now? It's all a matter of walking in the Spirit, because the Spirit will teach you and He'll lead you and He'll guide you. Just as it was no accident that we ended up at a little motel almost 4,000 miles away, 3,500 miles away, at the same exact spot where a group of people were forming a little pioneer holiness church. It is no accident when you're walking in the Spirit and the Lord allows things to happen in your life and teaches you and leads you and brings you to this point. I never would have dreamed as a 14-year-old boy pushing a lawnmower in that little plat that I lived in, mowing grass for $5 a cut, and thinking about preaching the gospel and the Lord dealing with me at that time, that I would ever be in the places that I've been tonight. I would never dream that the Lord would have put me here and allowed me the opportunity to preach here and to preach in Alabama and to preach in Montana and preach in Kentucky and preach in another. Why did this thing happen? It was because I continued to choose to walk in the Spirit. And if you'll continue to choose to walk in the Spirit, you'll save yourself a whole lot of heartache and a whole lot of trouble. A whole lot of disappointment, and I told my wife, I said, if I leave this world, whenever it is, if and when I ever do, I hope I leave it courageously, showing somebody else that they too can walk in the Spirit. I mean, it's one thing to have a multitude of friends, but not at the sacrifice of having Him as a friend. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a wonderful thing to have a multitude of friends, but not at sacrificing His friendship. I want Him to be the Lord of my life, and I hope you do too. Amen. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Let's ask God to draw us closer. Ask Him to make us what we ought to be and continue to lead us and help us to have the wisdom to continue to walk in the Spirit. Amen.